Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps. Are you following Catholic Sports Radio on social media yet? There are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. There is also a Facebook group, which is called Catholic Sports Radio Community. There are listeners of this show in that group, as well as some former guests. There is a button for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. And do please help me spread the word about this show and tell others who would enjoy and benefit from listening about Catholic Sports Radio. I continue to send my thanks, my gratitude, my compliments to the folks at Merchantside Marketing who built CatholicSportsRadio.net, and it is what you see today from day one. I've mentioned one time before in the show that people say that you're supposed to change your website every 2 years, and I quite frankly am too pleased and too happy with how Merchantside Marketing built that website from day one, and I've insisted that it be kept up the way that you see it now, and I really don't foresee changing it anytime soon, but rest assured that if for whatever reason it was brought to my attention that, no, you just have to, and not just as a whimsical thing, I would go back to Merchantside Marketing for sure and ask them to do that for me. I've mentioned plenty of times in this show that their owner is a Christian, big supporter of Catholic Sports Radio, which certainly means a lot. And so I certainly recommend them for any website needs that you may have. There are ads throughout CatholicSportsRadio.net that you can click on to go to the Merchantside Marketing website to learn more about them and the various services that they offer and the different packages that they have. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. For all the time spent by fans talking about sports, it's okay to talk to God about the players and the teams that we root for. It's okay to pray for these athletes and coaches, in and out of season, mind you. We follow them so closely when they're playing the games that we watch so closely, and for all the praising and criticizing that we do, it would be even more productive to offer up prayers for them. Back on episode 135 of this show, former UConn basketball player Molly Bent mentioned her own pregame prayer, but as a fan, consider even all of the traveling that athletes do. While, sure, it's just part of the job, there are still lots and lots and lots of trips taken across the country over the course of any league's season, and we can offer up to the Lord our desire for safety for the players and staffs who all are a part of these road trips. In fact, we can look to the Bible and Psalm 121, which we can say as a prayer intention for these individuals that I'm referring to. Verses 7 and 8 there say, "The Lord will guard you from all evil. He will guard your soul. The Lord will guard your coming and going, both now and forever." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is a Jesuit priest and an associate professor of religious studies at the University of Detroit Mercy, having previously taught in the theology and religious studies department at Seattle University for 13 years. He is also the author of a book called Catholic Perspectives on Sports, From Medieval to Modern Times, and he is the editor of a book on sports and Catholic youth that was just listed as one of the top 10 books on sports and Catholicism in the last decade. He was also on the Papal Commission at the Vatican for Sport and Spirituality, and not only has he coached sports at the high school and college levels, but he was a captain of his college football team and an all-conference free safety. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Father Pat Kelly.
Thank you very much, Bruce. Good to be with you.
Likewise, I'm looking forward to this. I tried looking through your resume, which is quite lengthy, and I see entries from not only different locales in the U.S., but abroad as well, including Italy and Nicaragua. Where did it all start for you, though? Where were you born and raised?
I was born and raised in the Detroit area, and that's where I went to a Catholic high school and started, you know, playing sports at our parish, St. Valentine's, And then we played in the Detroit Catholic League when I was in high school.
Okay. And brothers and sisters, what was your family size?
Yeah, I have two brothers and two sisters.
Where are you among them?
I'm the second oldest.
Okay.
Dan is a year older than me. Nancy's a year younger. Sharon is a couple years younger than Nancy. And Sean is 7 years younger than me.
So I'm curious then, who influenced you faith-wise when you were a young boy?
Oh, I think my parents, mostly. And I think probably just the life at school, where we did the 10 Mass regularly when I was at the Catholic grade school and high school. And the parish that I mentioned that I grew up in, St. Valentine's, those would be important influences for me when I was younger.
I'm guessing that clearly you were drawn to sports before a life committed to pursuing your faith based on your having played football in high school. Talk about those days as it relates to how serious were you about football, being that you would even then go on to play in college as well?
Yeah, I was actually, I was very, I could say I was serious about it, but more accurate way of saying it would be, I loved it. So I thoroughly enjoyed it, and playing football and basketball especially. Football was my favorite sport. So I just, we're all different. People enjoy different things. From the time I was a very young boy, I enjoyed playing sports. And so, and because I had some success when I was in high school and in college, I thought perhaps that this could be what I would do, you know, as a profession when I got older. I had an experience, though, that's maybe relevant to mention. I had a very good junior year. I was a tailback on the team and free safety and football, and I and we had a very good team going into my senior year. But I broke my ankle about 4 days before the first game, our senior year. So I didn't play it down my senior year.
Wow!
And that was a big blow because I was looking forward to this senior year with all my friends, and we had a very good team that year. And they did very well, actually. But that was kind of a significant event. You know, this year, and for the Jesuits, we call it an Ignatian year, because 500 years ago, Ignatius was hit in the leg with a cannonball and was laid up with that injury for quite some time back at Loyola. But that was a difficult moment for him, but also a life-changing moment where he started off in a different direction from that point on. So this was my first cannonball moment. Mm-hmm. In my life. I did subsequently play in college, as you mentioned. So, but having that injury at such a young age, when I had already gotten so much attention for sports, it did make me step back and reflect, about who am I and where does my value come from, and those kinds of questions.
Well, I don't know if this is where you're eventually going with this, but I do want to know, when did you hear the call to the priesthood?
Yeah, so when I was I was playing football at Grand Valley State University on the west side of the state of Michigan, and I started going to Bible studies on campus there, in Protestant-led Bible studies, and I started to have a real desire to learn more about my faith and my Catholic faith. So I looked at the course catalog at the University of Detroit, where I am now. I'm actually sitting in the Jesuit residence there. I'm just starting a new job teaching here. And I was looking in the course catalog and saw all of these theology classes. And so I came here to the University of Detroit and took all religion theology classes, and got a bachelor's degree from here, and I was here for 1 year. And it was in the middle of that year I did a retreat with Father Justin Kelly in this building I'm in right now. And I had an experience when I prayed over the story of the rich young man. I had an experience of deep peace and joy with the, associated with the idea of entering the Jesuits, what Ignatius of Loyola would call spiritual consolation. And so I didn't enter right away. So I taught theology for some time. I studied theology more, and then I entered the Jesuits. But that was really a foundational experience that I had on that retreat that led me in this direction.
Okay. And I want to mention to the audience, if you never heard it, go back and listen to episode 80 of this show. My conversation with Father Michael Leitner kind of goes hand in hand with what you're hearing on this episode. Father Michael Leitner was a football player that was playing college football successfully to the point of getting an invitation to the Cleveland Browns to try out for them, and ended up going into the priesthood. An amazing conversion story that he tells on that one. Father Kelly, was it because you had played football, or was there a particular development at some point in time that led you to take such an interest in the mix of faith and sports?
Yeah, I think it's it comes out of my youth and, like what I mentioned earlier, you know, my enjoyment of playing sports. I'll just give you a little bit of context, though. After I was done playing football in college and I was trying to take my faith life seriously, you know, in a new way, for some time I started to think that I should put behind me all the, like St. Paul says, when I became a man, I put behind me childish things. And there was a part of me, I was thinking that I was supposed to do that, to live a spiritual life. But I found out over time as I was living my life that didn't work, because I'd been too profoundly shaped and formed as a human being through my participation in sports. And that very formation was influencing my attempts to live the Christian life, for good and maybe in some ways not for good. And so I started, instead of thinking I just reject, you know, put it behind me and forget about it, I started to reflect on how was my participation in sport, you know, how did it make me the person that I am, and in such a way that it actually helps me to live the Christian life. Or how did it form me in such a way that it undermines my attempts to live the Christian life? So I started that kind of reflection first on a personal level, and then eventually as a Jesuit, once I entered the Jesuits, I started studying those kind of questions about sport participation and human, you know, well-being and growth or diminishment more academically. And that's been a big part of what I've taught about over the years and written about. I'll just say one other thing. It was actually when I made the spiritual exercises retreat, 30-day retreat as a Jesuit novice, that was the point at which I ended up moving in this direction for my work and being missioned in this way by the Society of Jesus. During that retreat, I had it. So there was a sense of an invitation to stay connected to my youth, my young life, not reject it, as I was saying, and that somehow see that God was present there in my youth and all of my experiences. As Ignatius says, God is present in all things. And then as the retreat continued on, I had a sense of a call to do ministry in this area as well.
Fascinating. Fascinating. Folks, Father Kelly has obviously seen and done a lot, as you can tell by everything that I read off in the intro and as you're starting to hear, not the least of which, of course, was serving on the commission at the Vatican that I mentioned. But before I have him talk about that, I do want to invite your participation in my Catholic Sports Radio ministry through means that I probably should have started talking about a long time ago. I realized that every week when I tell you about the different costs that I'm having to try to cover out of my own pocket, since I don't get any income from doing this and I don't have any sponsors, I'm really only giving you one option as to how you can be a part of what I've been doing here for more than 2.5 years now. And while I do certainly still ask you to consider supporting this show financially with a one-time contribution through the Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net or by getting in touch with me through the contact section to ask for the address to mail a check to, I also invite you, or maybe someone you know that would be a fit, to consider becoming a sponsor of Catholic Sports Radio. Also, I'm talking to some folks in a few different locations about being a guest speaker. If you have, whether it's in person or virtual, a church event, a parish function, a men's conference, or even a Catholic school event, or maybe a sports night, where my ministry and my background in pro and Olympic sports and, of course, the Catholic faith would be a good fit, I would love to talk to your parishioners, your members, your team, your staff, teachers, students, whoever it might be. There are places on CatholicSportsRadio.net that say request Bruce as a speaker that you can utilize to get the conversation started. Whether a financial contribution through the Donate to CSR button or mailing a check, becoming a sponsor, or having me come be a speaker, I'm truly grateful for your prayerful support of my Catholic Sports Radio ministry, not to mention, obviously, everyone who listens and subscribes to the show. Father Kelly, before that break, you were talking about the interest in the mix of faith and sports, and although it has been out for some time now, I certainly want to give you an opportunity to talk about your book called Catholic Perspectives on Sports, From Medieval to Modern Times.
Yeah, so this book originated when I was doing my doctoral dissertation, and when I started doctoral studies, I had this question: what would a Catholic approach or take on sports as an aspect of culture be? And at the time, this would have been in around to the year 2000, there had not been much of anything written about that topic. There was a lot written about muscular Christianity in England, Protestant schools, or in the United States, or evangelical Christians and influence on sports in the United States, or the Protestant work ethic, but nothing really on Catholics and sports. So that was my question: what would a Catholic approach or take to sport be? And so what I did in that book, because it was a new question, I looked first at what Catholics were doing in the especially the high and later medieval periods or Renaissance, in terms of engagement in play and sports, on feast days, for example, or in the schools of the Renaissance, the early Jesuit schools, this time for play and sports, and the space for that was important. And then I also looked at what Catholics had done in the United States, you know. But then I tried to understand, now, how was this engagement in play and sport on the part of lay Catholics related to how Catholics and theologians thought about the human person? So the body would be crucial here. And as I write in the book, you know, contrary to the way Catholic views or Christian views are presented in writing of the history of sport, there's actually a strong emphasis on the importance of the body, the goodness of the material world, that the human person is a unity of body, soul, and spirit. The religious practices in Catholicism, you know, are very embodied activities. If you think of processions and pilgrimages and religious dramas and crawling to the cross, the use of statues and images and prayer, the sacraments, etc. And then the second thing was how they understood virtue. And this is very important to me. I begun writing about what I call a play ethic, Catholic play ethic, in this regard. Thomas Aquinas asked in his Summa Theologica, can there be a virtue about games? And he answers yes, because virtue has to do with moderation. He's getting this from Aristotle and the classics. Virtue has to do with moderation. So a life that's only about work and, you know, only thinking about work is excessive. It's not a fully human life also needs time for recreation and play. And that play serves the human person in the sense of providing pleasure and relaxation. And so that was important. That was the most influential thinking, Thomas's thinking, his play ethic, on preachers in the later medieval period in terms of justifying playing games and sports on feast days and holy days, for example. So I think that play ethic can be helpful in our context in the United States. Of course, the United States and Protestant traditions are well known for the work ethic. But I'm concerned, especially over the last couple, several decades, that the play element is kind of going out of sport and even out of youth sport. You know, play has to do with enjoyment, something we do for its own sake. But even youth sport has become, we tend to think about it more instrumentally as a means to college scholarship or other, you know, other ends. And the joy can go out of it. And kids are dropping out of sport, you know, at age 13 in dramatic numbers, much more so than when I was growing up.
Wow. And for the audience, I will put a link on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net to Father Kelly's website, and you can see more there regarding the book that he was just talking about and other writings that he is doing. Father Kelly, go ahead and share with us next about the Papal Commission for Sport and Spirituality that I've referred to a couple times now.
Yeah, so this was, I've been working with a couple different offices in the Vatican. The document that was put out, it's a sort of like a small book with five chapters called Giving the Best of Yourself, the Christian Perspective on Sport and the Human Person. That document was put out by the Dicastery for Laity, Family, and Life. And I was part of a group of six or so people from different parts of the world. And we were actually, our task was to revise a document that had been written earlier so that it reflected some of the tone and emphases and also speeches of Pope Francis on sport. So I worked with Santiago Perez de Camino, who's the head of the Office of the Church and Sport there at the Dicastery. I've known him for many years and worked with him on other projects as well. And this book, this little booklet was put out on June 1st, 2018. Pope Francis wrote a three-page introduction for it. It's actually, I was doing the final editing on it, and it was the first time that I had ever had a deadline that had to do with the fact that the Holy Father needed our document by Friday. So that was a first for me. But I was very grateful that Pope Francis wrote an introduction to it.
Now, did that become a internal document, so to speak, or is that something that's available to the unwashed masses, to the general public, that someone can purchase from Amazon or wherever?
Oh, it's available on the Vatican's website, or if you go to the Dicastery for Laity, Family, and Life, it's on their website too. It's a Vatican document, you know. It's okay. Just like you find any of the Pope's encyclicals. I'm not putting it in that category, but right. Just like you find other documents that the Vatican publishes, you can also find this on the Vatican's website.
Okay. Well, there is a course that you teach at the University of Detroit Mercy called Sport and Spiritual Traditions. Over the course of a semester, a little bit more specific than that course title, what are the students in that class hearing and learning about?
Yeah, we just had our first class today. Now, I've taught many different iterations of these classes. And this one's slightly different, a little bit new, because it's a new university for me. And so, you know, we have to have it so it fits with the curriculum. But generally speaking, I'll tell you about the class that connects to what I was talking about earlier in terms of my own life and my own reflections. So after an introductory part of the class where we would discuss the question, why study sport in a theology class, you know, and so do some introductory things about, in this case, about Catholic thought. We read some things about the body, like I mentioned earlier. We read some historical things that I've written and others. And then the rest of the class, the first section of the rest of the class, we look at how does sport participation contribute to the well-being, the, you know, integral development of the person, and also lead them open to the transcendent dimension. So can open out onto living a life of faith or a spiritual life. And in the and we do that with different academic disciplines, so philosophy, a little bit of philosophy, a little bit of psychology, and then theology, spirituality.
Wow.
And then in the last part of the course, we look at how does sport participation in our contemporary context contribute to the diminishment of a person?
Mm.
And we read, again, philosophy there, some other disciplines, and theology, spirituality. In that part of the course, we'd be looking a little bit more critically at some of the value orientations in the culture, how those might get internalized by athletes, or ways of understanding the human person and the body that can lead athletes into some trouble. One that I'll mention would be to start, you know, if one starts to think of one's body only as a machine, in a mechanistic way, a person can become removed from their own life of affectivity and often run into difficulties, personal problems. Of course, this understanding the human body in this way would not be adequate from a Christian perspective. When we're created in the image and likeness of God, and the body is part of, you know, how God has created us, and to be used in such a way that, to be lived in such a way that it leads us to Him and leads us to be able to live a loving life. One of the things that happens with some athletes, if it's more of a mechanistic view, body as machine, if it starts to take or become too predominant in their lives, as young people, they may not be able to enter into intimate relationships with members of the opposite sex, or their relational life, even family life in the future, can be undermined because they if they're removed from their own feeling, you know, life of feeling, and aren't able to acknowledge that and respect that in other persons as well, which is what is needed for intimacy and love between people. In the first part of the semester, when we look at sport and well-being, we use the psychology research of my own mentor, my own doctoral studies professor, Mihai Csikszentmihalyi. And he's the author of something called Flow Theory. Some of his first studies were about people at play, including in sports contexts. And based on his research, he developed this flow theory. Some of the elements of flow are there's a centering of attention on a limited stimulus field. So you're completely present to what it is you're doing. You're not thinking about other things. Mm. You're also not thinking about yourself at this time. If you're engaged in a challenging activity like in sports, you have to be all there, and you can't be also at the same time thinking about, you know, what do they think of me, or what did they write about me in the newspaper. You have to be egoless, is what he puts it. And also, people describe this experience of a sense of union with the surroundings. In the context of sports, people often will mention the bond that develops with other members of the team, you know, when the team is clicking real well. So there's a sense of self-transcendence, that you're a part of something bigger than yourself. Mm. And time goes by in a different way as well. You know, the old saying, time flies when you're having fun. So, you know, something that took 2 hours can seem like it took just 10 minutes or so. Some of my baseball players in my classes have said, though, when they're at bat, that time slows down for them. Mm. And others mentioned this too. And I think that's because the ball's coming in at maybe 96 miles an hour and moving fast, you know, maybe moving in different directions. So in order for them to do well what they're trying to do, they have to slow things down.
Yeah, yeah.
So they can actually hit the ball. So we experience time in a different way than, you know, secular time, if you will, or like where every second on the clock is the same as the last that went by. And there are other elements too, but I just thought I'd mention that, because I think that flow research, one of the things, reasons I find it so useful, is it resonates with my own experience playing sports, and, you know, a lot of my students and coaches that I've worked with. But also, it is a rich resource for dialogue from spiritual perspectives, you know, including the Catholic. I use Ignatius of Loyola's notion of spiritual consolation in dialogue with this flow theory.
That's all very interesting. I wonder, talk about the different dynamics you see, the response maybe by students who you've taught in places like Italy and Nicaragua versus here in the States, either at Detroit Mercy or Seattle University?
Yeah, well, in Nicaragua, I wasn't teaching a class about sports. I was teaching something else. Mm. But I did, now that I think of it, I did introduce them to flow theory, which they enjoyed a great deal. Mm. And I was teaching students who were, you know, seniors. It was their last class, and they were going to be teaching English in Nicaragua. Mm. And so flow theory is useful in terms of pedagogy as well. So we used that there. But I'll just say the kind of students I was teaching in Seattle, it were undergraduate students mainly. I also taught some graduate students, but mainly undergraduate students. And then in Rome, when I taught this course on sport, it was all graduate students, mostly seminarians or young priests.
Okay.
It was a very different kind of course in a way. And I, you know, with them, I focused much more on the Catholic heritage and Ignatian Jesuit heritage in relation to what we were studying. With undergraduate students, and especially in Seattle, there, a lot of our students aren't affiliated with the Catholic Church or maybe any religious tradition. So you, as a teacher, you have to find a way to connect with their experience, you know, mm-hmm. what in terms of what it is that you're going to be teaching them about. So for them, the flow theory and the experience of playing sports is more of a starting point, mm-hmm. because that's something that they've lived. And then you can go from there, you know. With the seminarians and priests, it's a different starting point and different goals and objectives in the class.
Sure. Okay. Well, that makes sense. As we wrap up here, thinking back on all the teaching you've done and all the books you've been involved with, either as a writer or an editor, is there one recurring name? Is there one person that stands out the most as coming up most frequently when you present on faith and sports, either as a professor or a writer?
Yeah, I'm going to have to say, in terms of the influence on my own work, it would be my mentor in doctoral studies, Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, the psychologist. And I actually have growing more and more in appreciation of his work and its implications, even for how we understand spirituality as time has gone on. So I would point to him. I would also say that when I speak about his work and connect it to spirituality, I don't think I've ever had a time where, people were disappointed or didn't appreciate it. I think that his research, you know, he is on to things that are very important and fundamental. And in terms of understanding the dynamics of human experience at play, creativity, at work, and like I said earlier, the research is so rich because it provides an opportunity for dialogue with spiritual themes. What it does is it allows us to understand how God is present in all things. It's a tool, a resource that can help us to understand how God is present in our play, in our sports, in our creative pursuits, our studies, our research, you know, our work. And in that sense, it's a great gift. That's what, as I mentioned earlier, Ignatius exhorts us to do, is to seek and find God in all things.
Yeah, and I'm probably not surprised that that's who you cited. You have spoken very highly of him throughout our conversation, and certainly some very fascinating content that he has provided and obviously has made an impression on you and so many others, I'm sure. And Father Kelly, I do want to thank you for being on Catholic Sports Radio very much. I appreciate you giving me the time, and thank you for all that you've contributed to the show on this episode.
You're welcome. It's good to be with you, Bruce. I hope we can connect again sometime.
And listeners, you know that when I have a member of the clergy on the show, I usually like to defer to them for the closing prayer. So in this case, Father Kelly has been kind enough to agree to do a closing prayer for us. So I will turn it over to him for that.
So let us pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks for all the many blessings of our lives. We give you thanks for family, for our schools, for our churches. We ask you to continue to help us to seek and to find you in all things, in our play and in our sports, in our creative pursuits, our studies, our work, so that all that we do might give you greater glory. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.